This episode is sponsored by Celestron, manufacturer of high-quality telescopes and an industry leader in developing exciting optical products with revolutionary technologies.
I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during May. First, we'll track the moon's whereabouts, watch Venus and Mercury play tag, get to know the Swiss Army knife of the night sky, spot three planets before dawn, and keep alert for bits of Halley's Comet. So grab your curiosity and come along on this month's Sky Tour. We're so used to seeing the moon come and go each month that we sometimes forget how beautiful it really is. During May, it's big and obvious in the evening sky as the month begins, reaching what's known as the full flower moon on May 7th. After that, it'll rise later and later with each passing evening, hitting third or last quarter on the 14th and becoming a fixture in the pre-dawn sky. New moon follows on the 22nd, after which you'll see a pretty crescent return to the evening sky, fattening up on the way to first quarter on May 29th. Around the time of full moon, it's easiest to make out clusters of dusky dark markings on the otherwise brilliant lunar disk. Before the invention of the telescope, sky watchers thought the moon was a crystalline orb that showed us a reflected version of Earth. Those dark smudges were thought to be the mirrored views of Earth's oceans and seas, and so they were given names like Ocean of Storms and Sea of Tranquility. Today, we realize that the dark regions actually were seas of a sort, vast plains of molten lava that erupted and froze in place billions of years ago. And, in a charming nod to history, we still know these features by their fanciful, watery names. Pay attention to where the sun sets or rises, and you'll realize that those points are marching northward along the horizon as the days and weeks go by. That solar slide is due to the changing orientation of Earth's spin axis with respect to the sun as we northerners march through spring and into summer. The sun is also shifting northward for our Australian friends, but for them it means that autumn is gradually becoming winter down in the southern hemisphere. Soon after sunset, you'll see the most obvious sky sight, dazzling Venus, hanging above the western horizon about a third of the way to overhead. This planet outshines all the others, and all the nighttime stars, too. How soon after sunset can you pick it out as twilight dims? You perhaps noticed that Venus was a little higher up back in April. And indeed, it's going to sink dramatically this month. By the end of May, it'll be just a few degrees up at sunset. So enjoy it while you can. Planet-wise, Venus has had the evening sky to itself for some time. But during May, it'll be joined by fast-moving Mercury. Start looking for this little planet around May 11th or 12th, when it'll be well to the lower right of Venus and close to the horizon. But Mercury will be rising as Venus sinks, and on the evening of the 21st, they'll be just 1 degree apart. After that, Venus drops lower, but Mercury continues to climb, and it'll set about 2 hours after the Sun at month's end. Early in the month, look below Venus to spot the star Aldebaran. Don't confuse it with Mercury, which hasn't made its entrance yet. Aldebaran looks at least 100 times dimmer than Venus, so it might be a challenge to locate. But don't be fooled. In reality, this star is actually more than 40 times the Sun's diameter, and it outshines the Sun by 500 times. It doesn't look that dazzling because it's 65 light years away. If you do spot Aldebaran, watch how rapidly it sinks toward the horizon night by night. Another bright reddish star is nearby, and it too is sinking fast. Hold your clenched fist at arm's length, and look about two fists to the lower left of Venus. That star is Betelgeuse. It's commonly thought to mark the armpit of Orion the Hunter, most of which has sunk from view in the west. But the original Arabic got mangled in translation, and the name really refers to the hunter's hand. Other translations favor shoulder or arm. In any case, Betelgeuse is enormously huge, roughly 1,000 times bigger than the Sun and 100,000 times brighter. It's 220 light-years away, thank goodness. To the upper right of Venus, also about two-fifths away, is Capella, a name derived from the Latin word for goat. It's the brightest star in the constellation Auriga, who in Roman mythology is a charioteer who moonlights as a goat herder. Swing your view to the upper left of Venus by about three-fifths until you come to a pair of stars that look roughly equal in brightness. These are the twins of Gemini, with Pollux on the left and Castor on the right. Look to the lower left of the twins for a bright star sitting on its own. That's Procyon, the brightest star in the small constellation Canis Minor, the little dog. The evening skies of May don't feature any slam-dunk constellations like Big Beefy Orion, but there is one obvious pattern that just about everyone knows, the Big Dipper. To find it, all you have to do is look up, way up. You should see the Dipper looming over you with its curved handle bent upward and its four-sided bowl apparently overturned as if dumping soup into some imaginary pot. Even though it's so well known, the Big Dipper isn't truly a constellation. It's what astronomers call an asterism, which is simply any group of stars that make an obvious pattern. The Dipper is part of a larger constellation called Ursa Major, the Big Bear. Right now, this woolly beast is on its back, with the stars in the Dipper's handle serving as the bear's tail, the bowl marking its back, and its head off to the left. I think of the Big Dipper as the Swiss Army knife of the night sky, because it helps me find so many other key springtime stars. For starters, find the two stars at the left end, forming one side of the bowl. Sky watchers call these the pointer stars, and here's why. Draw an imaginary line through the pointers, and follow that line downward by the width of three fists. You'll come to a moderately bright star. That's Polaris, the North Star. You can use this little trick anytime you want. Just remember that those two stars point to Polaris. Now, follow the curve formed by the Big Dipper's handle, up through overhead, until you reach a very bright star about three-fifths away. That's Arcturus, the spring sky's brightest star, in part because it's rather close to us, a mere 37 light-years away. Can you detect this star's pale ginger ale color by eye? Follow that same curved line past Arcturus into the southeastern sky until you come to a rather bright, icy white star, which is named Spica, or Spica in proper Latin. Congratulations! You now know how to arc to Arcturus and spike to Spica. But wait, there's more. Go back to those pointer stars in the Big Dipper. Follow a line through them in the opposite direction, away from Polaris, and four or five fists later you'll reach Regulus, the brightest star in the constellation Leo. So now you can point to Polaris in one direction, or leap to Leo in the other. As we northerners move closer to summer, sunrise comes earlier and earlier. It's around 5:30 a.m. up here in Boston. So you'll have to get up pretty darn early, at least 45 minutes before the sun, to spot the ongoing dance involving three planets before sunrise. Two of them are pretty obvious. Jupiter is almost due south as twilight begins, and somewhat dimmer Saturn is about half a fist to its left. Now slide your gaze eastward, to the left, about three fists, and you'll find Mars. The waning moon glides through this part of the sky in mid-month, passing just below Jupiter on May 12th and not far from Mars on the 14th and 15th. If you find yourself up well before dawn early in the month, you might poke your head outside to catch one or two shooting stars from the annual Eta Aquariid meteor shower. Conditions aren't great when this year's show peaks, which is on the morning of May 5th. Light from a nearly full moon floods the sky. But hey, these are bits of debris shed by none other than Halley's Comet. So keep an eye out for them if you can. That's about it for this month. If you want more tips for viewing the night sky, including a free interactive star chart for any time or date, check out our website, skyandtelescope.org. If you haven't already subscribed, you can find this sky tour on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. And if you've enjoyed listening, please leave a rating or review. It'll help spread the word about Sky Tour, and I really welcome your feedback. And if you want to explore the solar system and universe more deeply, check out the full line of binoculars and telescopes available at Celestron.com. SkyTour is a production of Sky and Telescope, a division of the American Astronomical Society, and is produced by me, Kelly Beatty. Next month, we'll try to spot some of the lesser-known constellations in the late spring sky. Until then, I wish you clear skies.